John chapter 12, we'll begin reading at verse number 1. John chapter 12, and verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Father, thank you so much today for your precious word. And Lord, we come to you this morning as your people. Lord, we need a fresh perspective, including this preacher this morning. We need a perspective as we face even this new year, God, of many things that could happen or that will happen. But Lord, that you are the master and that we can trust you with it. Oh, Father, may we have your perspective when we come out of here today. But God, I ask that the Word of God would have free course here this morning. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen. Folks, here it is, December 30th, 2013. Okay, now get ready. Last year, what happened? A lot. All right, we're going to face a new year. Now, for my family and I, we've faced a lot. We've seen a lot. We've dealt with emotions. We've dealt with circumstances. We've dealt with all kinds of things. All right? And so have everybody else in this room. And may I say that for Grace Baptist Church, we need a right perspective on God. And as we come here to John chapter 12, we get a right perspective. We see here in John chapter 11, just a chapter before, the account of Jesus Christ raising a man from the dead. The man's name was Lazarus. He was in the grave 4 days. Friends, family had been mourning over his death. Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, already had a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. But when Lazarus died, Jesus wasn't there. Until 4 days after. Now that was on purpose, that the works of God might be made manifest, as the Scripture says. And in verse 21, Martha said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, he wouldn't have died. And of course, Mary, then again, verse 32 in that same chapter, says the same thing. Lord, if thou hadst been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus tells him, he says, listen, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believeth in me shall never die. And then he says, believest thou this? You see, Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus in verse 43 and said, Lazarus, come forth. Folks, he didn't get up and brush himself off. No. As the Bible goes, he rose. He came up out of there, not bending, not even using a muscle. I'm talking about the power of God. Up from the grave, he arose. You say, how do you know that? How could you even say that? Because we're talking about resurrection power, you see. You know, it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, you see. You see, if you're saved here today, you've risen from death unto life. Folks, that's what the world needs. That's what our families need. And I dare say, those that say they're Christians and don't live like Christians, I believe that's what they need. You see. From death into life. It's a difference. You see. When if there's a struggle, there's life. Don't care if we sin, not too big a deal, it's death. Because the wages there of sin is death. There's a difference. And if you're here today and you've received Jesus Christ, you've been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Romans 6 and verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ, don't miss it, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Again, newness of life. You see, Jesus Christ has done that for us. But there's also prophecy. As I say, I'm speaking of the rapture here this morning. There's going to come a day where the gravestones, the tombs, will be emptied on Heckman Cemetery Road. I've got some relatives over in Bellefonte. Okay? In some cemeteries. And we've got folks that we know. Folks that have been saved. They're not going to be there forever. Because bodily, the Bible teaches, they will come up from the dead. And this Savior that made all this possible, as we trust Him by faith, is worthy of our worship. And right here in John chapter 12, Mary knew it. She knew that he was worthy of worship. In Revelation 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, speaking of Jesus Christ, for thou wast slain, and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Folks, there's coming a day, set in heaven, where that is all we will do, is worship Jesus Christ. He is the King. And when, hey, listen, as we come here and we analyze the heart here of Mary and her actions here, we'll see, as in verse 3, that to Mary, when it came to worshiping her Lord, the price didn't matter. The price did not matter. See, look at verse number 3. It says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. You see, this was about 12 ounces of very delightfully fragrant oil or perfume imported from East India. It could have easily been worth a year's wages for a man, or an entire life savings of Mary. Whatever it be, the Bible says it's very costly. And if you notice, Mary did not just use a few drops. She poured it on so much that she wiped it, had to wipe it off with her hair. Think of some of these ladies in here wiping off oil on an individual's feet. It would have to be the Master, amen? It would have to be somebody worthy of worship. You see, the price did not matter to Mary. We live in a day when time is money. And it is. The busyness, the self-imposed obligations, excessive debt, stress, running here, running there. How many of us get caught up in all that? This preacher does. Oh, I was standing in a guy's yard. I went to give an estimate, and he had 5 children. And they were older than mine. And he said, yep. He said, tonight I can't meet. And just to get an estimate with the guy was almost impossible. Okay? Because, well, we can't do it Friday night. Well, we've got majorettes. Well, we can't do it Thursday. We got this, we got that. No, it was something every night because all the kids were in everything. You know what I'm saying? And as I heard, and then I got to the yard, and he told me all this, well, how he spent all his time and all that. And he said to me, he says, how many children you got? I said, I got five. He said, no, he had three. That's what it was. He had three. He didn't have five. He had three. I said, five. He says, boy. He says, wait till your kids get older. And I thought, wow. What a testimony. You know, folks, we've got to be careful what we take on. Because we'll get so busy, we won't have the main thing the main thing. Now, we're going to face another year. And I got a lot going. I don't know about you. I know we're looking at some folks here. We all got a lot going. And we've got to take 2014 and make the main thing the main thing. Because He is the main thing. He's the one that's worthy of our worship. You see, all these things that we do and have and are trying to acquire, many times life leaves little time or no time for worship of Christ, honoring, reverencing God for who He is. And please, let me make myself clear and plain now, this morning. I'm not talking about your prayer list. Although that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. I'm not talking about asking for the needs of others. I'm not talking about even asking for our needs, necessarily. No. I'm talking about this matter of worship, about this matter of considering, pondering, contemplating, filling the mind with the person of Christ. I'm talking about bowing in humble adoration in heart and mind, and yes, even body, if able, before God. Psalm 46 and verse 10, I'm talking about being still knowing that He's God. Do you do enough of that? I'm not talking about thinking about our problems and what we've got going on. Revelation 1:12, like John in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, was on the island of Patmos, wasn't he? Man had nowhere to go, nothing to do, let's face it. Except whatever the stocks or the chains or whatever they had on him. Because they exiled John. No time, nothing to think about except his Lord. Because that's why he was there. Richard Wurmbrand, 14 years in a communist prison system. For 4 years, that man didn't see the light of day in the underground. They would slide his meals underneath a door. The guards would wear felt shoes so they couldn't hear him coming, so they could give him a beating in surprise, just to warp his mind, just to mess him up. And it did. They'd give him drugs, whatever it was, so he would deny his faith. And as the man testifies, he said, you know what he said? I wouldn't give up those 4 years, as horrible as they were. I've had some of the most glorious communion with the living God in the bottom of that 30 foot beneath the pavement there. I believe it was in Berlin. Yes. You know, it says in Psalm 104, verse 34, my meditation on Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. You know, all I'm getting at is, do you take time for just focusing on His person and who He is? Folks, I'm talking about a right perspective. You know, it would do us all well to get away into the closet, behind closed doors. And we've even talked here this morning, having children. Folks, we're busy. You know, we've got things we're doing. I used to, and I will say, I used to hear those preachers preach all the time. It is, you need to spend time with God. And you got to spend time with God. And it's got to be a priority. But I'll tell you, when you're raising a family, you've got to make time, and it's got to be on purpose, or it ain't going to get done. When you're a mom with children, So you go to bed at night at 11 o'clock because you got to get done everything else that the kids messed up through the day, and you can't even get up in the morning? It's got to be on purpose. It's got to be within the heart. But listen, we still got to ponder the person of Jesus Christ. We still got to consider Him. We still got to meditate upon Him. It may not be locked away for an hour in some place or in a closet. But you know, there's some of us here, we got time. We can go up on a mountain somewhere and just get along with God, just to put life in perspective. Because it's necessary. You see, Revelation 5, verses 11 and 12 says this, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels." This is John on the island of Patmos as he sees visions of what even heaven is. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor.'" Could you imagine that in unison? Thousands upon thousands? That's just a glimpse. That's just as we just take away the curtain just a little bit to look into heaven. The very heart of God. You see, heaven itself, folks, exists for worship. Heaven itself exists to worship God. Do you make time for this? Or do you consider the cost to be too high? Oh, it is going to cost you something. No doubt. You say, "When would I have time I schedule?" I don't know. Maybe it's when you're doing the dishes. Maybe it's just living in His presence. Being conscious of Him. Maybe it's when you take those last few minutes before you go to bed. If you're beat when you hit the pillow. To Mary and many of the saints of years gone by, the price just didn't matter. What steps would it be this morning between you and God, not the preacher this morning? That's the difference between the Baptist church and the Catholic church. And I won't use the word Baptist. That's the difference between the Christian church and the Catholic church. There's no lording over here. Each individual in this room today is accountable to Jesus Christ. The pastor's here. Are we accountable to Him? Yes, in a way. Yes, we are. But ultimately, He's standing here trying to say, point right there. That's what He's doing. We're accountable to Christ. Because we're a royal priesthood. That's what it is. So what I'm saying here, what's God saying to you? How would it honor Him? What steps would it be necessary to take in your life to make this matter of worshiping Christ a priority that it is or it should be in your life? And you've heard about the man that went and, you know, he eats in the kitchen and he makes his meals in the kitchen. He went to the dining room and ate his meals, and he had a room in the house for everything. But he didn't have a room in the house for God, for prayer. And so he made one. He said, best thing he ever did. He said he spent more time. He did it on purpose. No way am I suggesting we all need to divide our houses up, and if God leads you to do it, so be it. But I'm talking about the spirit of that thing. You know, God honors that. It was a priority to this man. Cost didn't matter. He was going to go ahead and do it. You see. I got a question. Where are you? On a scale, I hate to use it like this, but on a scale from 1 to 10, have you ever thought about a room just to pray? Just to meet with God? Where's your relationship with God this morning? Number one, the price didn't matter. Number two this morning, the people didn't matter to Mary. How many of us deal with people every day? Yeah. Yes, sir, you do, buddy. Yes, sir. We all do. We all do. Hey, you young fellas, If you think this message this morning is just for the adults, mm-mm. Nope. Because you know what I know about you young people sitting in here? Every single one of you can understand what I'm saying this morning. Yeah. And I'll tell you, we're coming from God's Word here. This isn't what Mr. Ben says. If it's what Mr. Ben says and it's bad, you've got to cast that behind your back and you've got to get what God says. But it's in here this morning, okay? No doubt about that. Right, pal? Yes, sir. All right. The people didn't matter here. There's sometimes a fella's got to stand on his own. Young people, is there some times you got to stand on your own when the rest of the crowd is doing something you shouldn't do and you know it, but you, boy, they're all doing it. Should I do it? Oh, Mary here stood on her own. She anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Listen, verse 9 tells us there's all kinds of people there. Was Jesus the most popular fellow in the day with the leaders of Jerusalem? No. No, he wasn't. And I'll tell you, it was the custom to wash the guests' feet. Yes, it was. You say, oh, that's what she was doing then. Yeah, but it was for the servant. It was for the slave. Not the owner of the house. And Mary takes it upon herself willingly. Now, I believe without hesitation, down on her knees, poured this expensive oil on the feet of Jesus Christ and wiped his feet with her hair. And in that day and time, this account was given here, it was considered inappropriate for a woman to put down her hair. Hear the old saying, she put her hair down, you know. And it was inappropriate this day and time to do that. But here's the thing. Mary of Bethany was a God-fearing woman. And her testimony, hey, everybody knew what her testimony was. This was not an inappropriate gesture toward her Lord or anybody else around. No, this was a gesture of highest honor and adoration to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. You folks know about Abraham. You know when Abraham was there, I believe it's Genesis chapter 18 or 19, where he's sitting in the plains of Mamre, right? And Abraham's sitting in his tent door in the heat of the day. So because all those travelers are coming by and he wants to help him. And the custom was just to come out and stand there, you know, and as you're the man of the house, and then somebody would come in and you'd motion them in and everything and all work out. But when God showed up, do you remember what Abraham did? Forget all the custom, man. Out the door he went, bowed right on his face before God. Said, please come in. I'll make you this. I'll make you that. Oh, hey, wait a minute. Sarah, go. I want you to start making some bread. All these things. Because there was a heart there to entertain God. There was a heart there to host God. And there's a heart here in John chapter 12 for Mary to worship God. Do you have that heart? Is it a priority? You see. And Mary unashamedly displayed her deep love and submission and adoration for her Lord. That's right, folks, right in front of the whole world. Well, we struggle with that sometimes, don't we? You're the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13. Verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I heard a preacher preach when I first got saved, and I think Mom would even remember us, Pastor Annan up there, preached on secret agent Christianity. Remember that, Mom? Secret agent Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'll go to church and everything, but it worked. Oh, no, I'm not going to say anything about that. Nope. Oh, I read the Bible. No, that's at home. Secret agent Christianity is a sin. And the question would be, did you really get a dose of God's Spirit in you? That's one of the questions I do have for you. And that's something you got to answer between God, because we can't judge hearts. Even though we give it a good shot sometimes as Baptists, don't we? Yes, we do. Yep. But we can't do it. Not rightly. No. Folks, it's okay to pray in a restaurant. All right? It is. It identifies you. All right? It does. I don't know how many times I watch somebody pray in a restaurant. I know. Listen, there's more to their Christianity than Catholicism. And you know it. All right? There's more to that guy than what's meeting the eye there. Unless it is just a formality. All right? But when we were growing up and everything, we didn't pray in a restaurant. We did at home. All right? Said the same prayer every time. Then we got saved. Amen? Mom and dad. Then we trusted Christ. Then we realized praying is just a little different than just saying the same thing every time you sit down to eat. I'm so glad for God. I'm so glad He came into my life. It was okay to praise the Lord for a beautiful day to the lost neighbor. Sure it is. It's okay for a co-worker to see you memorizing Scripture at lunchtime. It's okay. Don't flaunt it. Don't be like the Pharisees. Pray in the corner of the streets in the synagogues. You know, I'm not talking about that. That's not of God. To try to make yourself known as some religious figure. No, sir. It's okay to politely turn down an alcoholic beverage. I was in North Carolina. I was in South Carolina one night. South Carolina, and we were there with the family, and so there's a knock on the door. One of them said, or they were telling us about it, something happened. But anyway, there's a knock on the door, and somebody said, "Oh no, they're coming over. They want to have a drink with us." The lady says, "Oh, well, when the neighbor comes over and wants to have a drink with us, we're not sure what to do. They just this moved into the house, you know." They said, because that neighbor, they said, "We don't want to say we can't have a drink with you because it'll offend them, you know." And so we just hide. Isn't that crazy? No, isn't that crazy? And so that's how they handled it. Now, I know we've discussed conviction about alcoholic beverages and all the rest, and I'll say you better do what God says in the book and what God wants you to do. I believe in abstinence. I'll just say that right up front. But here's the thing. These folks did too. They had that conviction, so they didn't know how to handle it. But there's nothing wrong with saying, "You know what? I'll come on over and we'll have a drink with you, but I'll just have a Coke, right? And I'll just have a straight iced tea without the Long Island in it, right? Just put some lemon in there if you have some." And so there's nothing wrong with that. You see, we are going to be different. We are the salt of the earth. Whether it's praying in a restaurant or praising the Lord for a beautiful day or memorizing Scripture, okay? Listen, a Christian family, a Christian couple is going to spend their time differently than the world's going to spend it. All right? Not all the time. We're people, and we got same needs and physically and everything, and no doubt. But we're going to have a little different look on it, and the world's going to stand back and go, "Huh?" You see, Mary unashamedly and yes, publicly expressed her deep love for Christ when the opportunity presented itself. I know when I'm out in a job with Dad sometimes, and I hadn't been for a while, but there's always a customer to deal with. And you're in their home, you know, and you're putting windows in and everything, or you're seeing them every day on a siding job. I mean, you're there for 2 weeks or whatever it is. And you get opportunity to say things. And if you don't have a right perspective of worship, as Mary had here, you're not going to have the impact in their hearts and lives that God would have you to, you see. Psalm 107 and verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I'll give this illustration. I might have given it here before. I forget. But I remember when I worked for Penn State on their tree crew up there. We were often in group meetings with about 30 people and from landscape crew, and of course the supervisor was there the one day, and he stood up and was addressing the crowd there. And I remember the meeting was about the crew needed to be careful of their language. There were some fellows out, and they were saying some bad words, you know, and they were up, and some people were complaining, upset. So anyway, the supervisor was up there, and he's saying, "Hey, you guys got to keep your language. You guys can't say this and say that there around our customers and around other people here. We got to respect people," and everything went like that. But there was a fellow sitting there, and his name was John, and I believe he's still there. Old John Roan, he was sitting there. John Roden would show up to work and never say a word. No, I really mean that. Does he still? He still doesn't say a word. Doesn't say a word. Okay? And in the shop, there's all these little cliques. I don't know if they still got those little cliques. So these fellas hung out with these guys. They'd even do things on the weekend together. You know what I mean? It was kind of like their church. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's what it was. So anyway, they do whatever. All right? They would hang out with that crowd. And John would hang out with nobody. And the man would show up and do his work and shut his mouth. And it was funny because everybody in the shop had respect for the guy. They didn't even know why. He was kind of an odd fella. You know what I mean? He's an odd-looking guy, you know. These big glasses there before those dark-rimmed glasses were even in style. I guess they are now, but John put them on. He didn't care what anybody thought. So he'd come to work, and he was sitting there, and all of a sudden in the meeting, John stands to his feet, and you could hear his chair slide now. He'd stand up real slow. He says, "Jeff, may I say something?" Blew everybody's mind. Well, sure, John. He never said anything. And he says this. He said, "You see, Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I love Him. And when I hear my Savior's name being used in vain," he said, "it hurts me because He is everything to me." You want to talk about silence in that crew meeting? Listen, there was a vibrant gospel light shining. Darkness was fleeing, and it was silent. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. John wasn't leaning on his own understanding. Because your understanding of a situation like that is to be a secret agent Christian. Mary did not hesitate to publicly acknowledge her Lord. I ask you, do you know where you're going to get the power and the enablement and the fortitude to go ahead and live a life like that? Worshiping Him. Getting a right perspective of who He is. You see, in the prayer closet, in the heart, the mind. No. You say, "I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading God's Word. I don't feel like witnessing. I don't want to do these things." I've got a question for you. Number one, do you really know Christ as Savior? Okay. But number two, if you know that you know Him, I asked you, do you take time to meditate on Him and stand in awe of His Word? All you got to do is look out in the back porch there. I don't know where everybody lives, but listen, the God of all creation is glorious. He's not just the God of creation, He's the God of redemption. He is the very one. Yes, Jesus Christ made the moon. He made the stars. He spread them out like a tent across the sky. Yes, Jesus did it. It says it in John chapter 1 and verse 1. And then you get a picture of who He is. And then, folks, you get a picture. And you think of the depths of the sea. Do you know how far the Titanic's down in that ocean? 6 miles. Man can't explore that down there. But God knows every little place down there. The vastness of His person. And you ponder that in your heart and mind. He made it. He formed it. He made H2O. He made the salt molecules. The trees, they grow. They've got layers. It's brilliant. You see. You get a perspective on God like that and say, "Yeah, I can pray to Him. I can trust Him. He does want a relationship with me. He does care." You see. And, you know, out of a heart of worship, can we agree this morning comes praise? But out of a heart of worship comes service. I've heard preachers get up and say, and I almost sometimes feel like it's using God's name in vain when they'll say, bless God, we're going to, you know, and all this. You know, we're going to knock on every door in town. Okay. That's great. All right? I've heard one preacher one day down at school. He got up. He says, we knock on every door in town. It doesn't matter if the snow's 3 feet deep. We're threading through it and we're knocking on doors every Tuesday night. Folks, that's flesh. The Spirit of God draws a man. The Spirit of God gives us liberty. There's nothing wrong with the Tuesday night knocking on door time. Don't get me wrong on that either. But I'm talking about that attitude. We're going to get it done. No, you're not. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. It is out of a heart of worship that comes service. It's His perspective. And His perspective is He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's what He wants to use us to do. We'll have compassion. We'll have kindness toward others. That's where you get your heart to want, boy, I got to get in the Word tonight. Not because I got to, because I just need to and I didn't get in it today. Because, boy, I want to. I want to. You know, the fellow said in the Gospels, there, sirs, we would see Jesus. That's what we need to see. So number one, the price didn't matter. Number two, it didn't matter what everybody else thought. But number three this morning, the purpose mattered. Look at verse 3, if you would. It says, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. Listen, this is glorious. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The sweet savor of Mary's worshipful spirit filled the entire atmosphere. Folks, even if others wanted to get away from Mary and wanted to get away from this savor, they couldn't without leaving the premises. Why? Because the house was filled with the odor. We talked about anger this morning in a home. We talked about how the atmosphere of a home, when we're, this is how it's going to be. Oh boy, we can easily get like that, can't we, man? You know why we get like that? We get angry about this and not getting our way. Because we don't have a proper perspective. Because we're not spending time just pondering His person and His goodness and doing what we do out of a heart to please Him and to love others the way He'd have us to do. Our houses ought to be filled with that odor, that ointment. Your house, sir, needs to be. And your marriage. My house needs to be, in my marriage, my home. Talking about worship, a worshipful spirit. No, Mary of Bethany had a conscious, consuming yearning in her heart to communicate to Jesus Christ His worth to her. And it was personal. This is worship. That's what it is. And if she doesn't express that her desire here in her heart in these actions here in John chapter 12, I believe she's going to burst at the seams. She loves Him. She's showing it right before everybody. She's abandoning herself to Himself. You say, how do you think? Why do you think that, preacher? Because listen, all the Jews are around. It's like old Wormbrandt standing up before the whole communist regime and telling them that communism's from hell. And he did it. We're not supposed to worship no government. We're not supposed to worship a government or some system. We worship the God of heaven, he said. No, she did abandon herself to Himself. And her desire is to be poured out like water before Jesus Christ. Men, I'm going to ask you this morning. Do you know God like that? Ladies, do you know God like that? Do you want to know Him like that? This is adoration. We say, oh, the baby's adorable. No, no, he's not. Adorable, adoration is when we want to bow down with everything we have, our heart, our soul, everything, to bring glory and bring honor and reverence to someone who deserves it. You see. The word awesome gets thrown around. Oh, listen, there's one that's awesome. That means to stand in awe. Do you know that? That means He is awesome. He is. We stand in awe of the person of God. Psalm 45:11, for He is thy Lord and worship thou Him. Psalm 47:2, He is a great King over all the earth. I know of a contractor that got to the job one day. We got to the customer's house there, and the customer, just in conversation there before he started getting his tools out of the truck and everything, you know, and he was unloading his things, and the customer starts telling this contractor about how his health is failing, how he needs to lose weight, and how he's got financial struggles, and he's got all this stress because of his job and everything, and his children didn't appreciate him, and all this, you know, and the customer had this piece of, he said, yeah, my boy came to me the other day, and he had this piece of paper, and he said, it had every member of the family on, and everybody's there smiling, there's one guy in there that wasn't smiling, had a frowny face on. He says, buddy, he says, who's the guy with the frowny face? He goes, oh, that's you, Dad. Are you the guy with the frowny face this morning? Maybe you're the lady with the frowny face. And every time this guy would say something, that contractor would think of his life, how he knew God, and how this guy was a lost man, he didn't know the Lord. And every time that customer would say something, that contractor would think about the stability in his life because of God's Word. And because of the blessing there of God and his marriage and his home. And he became overwhelmed in his heart with the absolute goodness of God. Man, he got his tools unloaded. He looked at the customer and the guy that was there helping him, and he says, men, I'm going to pray this morning, he said. And so he did. And they said, well, we're going to pray. He said, I'm going to pray this morning. He said, and the customer kind of looked at him funny, and he says, well, go ahead. And the guy started praying. And he began to pray, thanking God for this, thanking God for that, for the absolute stability of the Rock of Ages. And you know, tears began to wet this guy's eyes. And you know, the more he acknowledged God, the more he realized he was unworthy and told God that. I'm unworthy, right there, in the backyard. It was all said and done. The guy blows his nose, wipes his eyes, and after he says amen, he says, okay, man. He says, now let's get to work. I'm talking about the fragrance, the savor of a heart filled with God. Men, ladies, that's what every one of us need. In 2014, that's what we need. This fragrance, this savor is not on, it's not present with a man who merely goes to church. Or even a man who prays, or a man who, a Sunday school teacher, someone who serves in various ways. No, no, this fragrance of worship is on the man who counts it all but loss that he might be poured out like water at his master's feet. Jesus Christ is his or her all. He's their everything. Mary did not come here in John chapter 12 to her Lord to ask for anything. Not for herself, not for others, just to give Him His due. Do we do that? Just to give Christ His due? Do you take time just to worship Him? Not a business relationship. An intimacy. A sanctified appreciation for who He is. Folks, I'm not talking about looking for an experience. whether that brings tears or not. Well, I'm not talking about all that. All right? You see, worship is not for us. Worship is for Him. We can ponder His person no matter what emotion it may bring. And that brings Him glory and gives us a right perspective in life. Let's bow for prayer.